Today, Rwandans mark the 20th anniversary of the genocide in their country. It was a murderous campaign of Hutus against Tutsis, triggered by the killing of the Hutu president, but planned with racist ideology years before. The genocide began on April 7, 1994. It ended 3 months later with more than 800,000 people killed. It was the fastest genocide in history. NPR's Gregory Warner was at today's remembrance in the capital, Kigali.
After 1 minute of silence today at noon, the remembrance began with testimony from a survivor. Soon after, you could hear the screaming from the bleachers. In a crowd of 30,000 people, first this person, then that one, would commence wailing and thrashing. Men in yellow vests would lead them, bodily sometimes, to a special trauma room in the stadium basement. Twenty years after the genocide, more than half of this country is too young to have lived through it. And much of today's remembrance was educational. An historical reenactment depicted the arrival of the colonialists in the early 20th century. The colonialists, played by eight Russian soldiers stationed in Kigali, the only white actors in a cast of 800. They measure the Africans' noses and impose a racial hierarchy on what had merely been social distinctions between Hutu and Tutsi. That, says one of the play's narrators, sowed the seeds of genocide.
Dehumanization started and humans became objects.
When the killing starts, the colonialists trade their safari hats for the blue berets of UN peacekeepers, and they drive off through the fallen and falling bodies. It's a reenactment of the quite literal abandonment of Rwandans in 1994 by the UN. And then the Rwandan Tutsi army jogs in. The crowd cheers these trim young men in camouflage uniforms, who tenderly lift each prostrate body till the soccer field is clear.
Fellow Rwandans.
President Paul Kagame, the former leader of that army, asked the crowd not to forget their abandonment by the UN, and then, in a change, to imagine what would have happened if the UN had given its help.
It is not hard to imagine how we could have ended up. We could have become a permanent UN protectorate, with little hope of ever recovering our nationhood.
He describes an archetype of an African failed state fatally dependent on international goodwill, divided and engulfed in never-ending civil war.
With endless streams of refugees and our children sick and uneducated. But we did not end up like that.
Kagame has always relished the role of spoiler to Europe's self-regard. He alluded to the absence of the French foreign minister, who pulled out after Kagame accused France of having a direct role in the genocide. France only admits to providing weapons and training used by the genociders. Kagame's rejoinder, his only French phrase of the day, got the biggest applause.
After all.
After all, no country is powerful enough, he said, to change the facts.
Les faits sont têtus.
Facts are stubborn. Outside the stadium, I met a 27-year-old orphan named Claude. He asked that I not record his voice. He shrugged off the diplomatic kerfuffle with France. He said that he had spent the remembrance thinking of his lost parents and elder brother. I asked him to describe his emotions. He said honor and sadness. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Kigali.